Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour two, we're here till 6 o'clock. Seth Dunlap and the Saints all-time leading rusher and Saints Radio Network color analyst Deuce McAllister alongside. We'll continue to talk football, but we'll transition to college football. LSU had a scrimmage today, their first post-Narcisse McMillan transfer scrimmage, and it didn't get look good for the quarterback. So we'll get to that in just a second. But Deuce, just for anybody who didn't hear earlier this week, our takes on your take on the quarterback transfers. In a nutshell, mine is I don't think it's going to make a big difference on the field this year for the team. I think they would have had a couple of packages for Narcisse. McMillan certainly doesn't hurt them. But what it does hurt, I think, is long-term this program. Narcisse in this program for 3 years, maybe 4 years, I think could have made a big impact down the road. And also, will they still be able to hang on to Miles Brennan's redshirt? Because I think another year of development here for Brennan could have made a big difference, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to hang on to that. I know the new redshirt rules. Maybe Burrow stays completely healthy, and they don't have to go to one of those walk-ons. So that's what I take away from it. Not the sky is falling that a lot of LSU fans want to make out. But look, this is a shot across the bow of this program. You just don't see big-time Division I football teams lose two scholarship quarterbacks on the same day. And remember, according to Ross Dellinger, that stat, the last 13 years, only four LSU quarterbacks have started then finished their career at LSU. So this is a systemic problem that goes way back before Coach O.
Those are not pretty numbers when you look at it from that standpoint, but I do think you can try to find some positives. Narcisse is a very, very talented quarterback. He was going to get the opportunity to play. Both of those guys kind of understood, and as well as McMillan, no knock against him as well, but Narcisse, he was going to get an opportunity to play. For him, he did not want to be viewed as just a specialty quarterback, a wildcat guy. So from that standpoint, yes, I think you're disappointed. He wanted the opportunity to start the game. He wanted the opportunity to run the two-minute drill, the whole shebang when you talk about being a quarterback, not just coming in on third and short goal line, a gadget.
Gimmick is how he – I think that's the
gimmick,
word he used.
Gimmick, yeah. Gadget, whatever, same difference. He wanted the opportunity to be the quarterback that takes 50, 60, 70 snaps, however many it is, offensively that they would have taken. He's going to Gulf Coast. We understand that. McMillan has already graduated, has a few more options. For both of those guys, wherever they go, it puts them in a late starting situation because most of the colleges will start, I think, JUCO starts next week, this upcoming week.
So still has a chance to get the full camp in, basically, with JUCO.
Camp is over. I mean,
Their games start this next week?
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think their games start this upcoming week. I feel pretty good about that. If not, within 2 weeks for sure, as far as junior colleges are concerned. And that just puts both of those guys in a tough situation. Now, when you turn to LSU, very rare will you get to your number three quarterback to play anyway. We know the situation that happened a couple years, Ohio State, their third played, and you know they were able to still keep it together. But very rarely will an elite Power 5 program get to their number three quarterback because of injuries to the other guys. It's very rare that you get both of your first and second quarterbacks knocked out for the year. Now, yes, I understand missing maybe a game or he's questionable. I understand that. But I don't think that either of those other guys would have taken over fully because of injury. Now, lack of play, as far as not running the offense or not being able to connect receivers, that's a different story. Coach O could have pulled him. Coach Ensminger could have pulled him. That's totally different. And now you move one of the other guys up to the number two spot. We don't know. I can tell you that the numbers from the scrimmage were not pretty today. So,
yeah, let's
whether any other one of those guys could have done better, I don't know. But they've got to get some things fixed in a hurry if they want to kind of keep this deal together. Because here's what's starting to happen, Seth. we're finding out more and more things that happened during the offseason, and it's starting to chip away at this team. And whether it's pressure or whether it's guys just being bad guys and they're still part of the program, but you're starting to have more and more things happen to this program, and O just wants to keep the ship in the water right now. I mean, but before they can even get to the games, he's having to deal with a lot of other stuff.
Yes, Drake Davis, the wide receiver, he was arrested. We'll get to that. Ugly stuff here. Before we move on, and by the way, LSU fans, we had a lot calling hour one wanting to talk LSU. It's your chance to talk LSU right now. So the phone number is area code 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870, text line 870-870. Real quick before we get into the scrimmage today, I don't want to labor on this transfer because we talked about it all week long, but I did think a curious line out of the Coach O press conference the day after that those guys transferred was that they graded and had a hierarchy set for those guys. It sounded like, and I'm not trying to put words in Coach O's mouth, but it sounded like that he kind of laid things out to everybody, graded everybody in kind of maybe not a physical list, but certainly one where every quarterback knew, Narcisse maybe knew, hey, I'm the fourth guy here. Is that something common?
Yeah, very common. I mean, because one of the things that it does is allows those guys from a standpoint, you want them all to be prepared and ready to play. But he had basically just given them the grade, say, look, right now you're the first quarterback, you're the second, you're the third, and you're the fourth. That's basically all it was. And they were going off of the grades, whether they understood, whether they were able to get the team in and out of the huddle, whether it was at the line call, whether they were able to check, giving them based off of those different things. So that's what he meant by grading, and each player understood and knew where he was in that system.
All right, Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister here on a special edition of Sports Talk. All right, the stats from today's scrimmage, not pretty. Again, this is the first scrimmage post-transfers here, and neither quarterback looked very good. Miles Brennan, just 5 of 19 for 47 yards, one interception. Joe Burrow, not much better, 10 of 24, 120 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Obviously, we don't see film on this, so like I cautioned with Taysom Hill, this is the opposite way. I caution you can't read everything into just what the box score says. There's a lot more nuance that comes into football here. It's not like a baseball box score, but that's not pretty. That is not pretty from LSU's quarterbacks, Deuce.
I would have inflated the numbers.
Would you, right? If you released them to the media.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given the completion. Hey, look, you know, he missed a couple throws. He hit a couple throws. Yeah. Probably both of the guys went over 200 yards, had a couple interceptions. My defense did really well. Offense, we were able to score a touchdown with such and such receivers. I'm not sending that out, particularly with no video available. I don't know if the media was even able to watch that scrimmage. I think it was a closed scrimmage.
I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it was a closed scrimmage. So I'm not sending that info out.
No. I mean, well, I applaud. I'm not going to crawfish on this because I went after Coach O last year because he was way too.
He was tight.
Yeah, he was too tight with this, with his access. So he's trying to be more transparent now. So I guess maybe I'm not going to knock him for doing this. But with Joe Burrow especially, the expectations that the fan base and some LSU nits have put on Burrow, they expect him to be kind of the next Russell Wilson, maybe, you know, Cam Newton light here. That's not fair to Joe Burrow. We've never heard Joe Burrow say one time that he's going to be some incredible quarterback here. But a lot around LSU think that because he came from the Urban Meyer system, because he was at Ohio State and the legacy of those quarterbacks in that system, that he was going to come in here and be the savior of this program. I think that's unfair to Burrow, and frankly, I think this is going to be a pretty darn rough ride with the weapons around him in this offense. We're talking about question marks at offensive line, question marks at running back, question marks at receiver. Joe Burrow could be great. If he doesn't have weapons around him, it's going to be pretty darn tough in this SEC.
Well, it starts up front. And, Seth, right now they're hurting up front. I know that they have not been successful, even though they have some veteran guys back. You suspended one starter out indefinitely before camp really gets started. You've got a couple other guys that are banged up. So up front, they're hurting. And when you're going against that defense, that front seven that they go against every day,
right,
it can make you look really, really bad. And so,
that's where we don't see film of this. We're just getting the box score. They're going up against one of the best defenses in the nation,
yeah,
right?
You know? Yeah. So in a sense, the negative numbers, particularly from the quarterback, it almost makes sense. You would still want to see maybe one or two big plays, and we don't know if that happened because we don't see the film.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Derek. You want to talk a little LSU, Derek? Welcome on into the program.
Hey, dude, it's Seth. How you guys doing today?
We're good.
Doing good, Derek. How you doing?
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. After that first quarter and second quarter last night in the dome, man, I started to pull that old bag I had out under the chair.
Hold it on under there for a couple more weeks, Derek. Yeah. We're gonna keep it under the chair for a couple more weeks now.
Exactly. I just wanted to make a quick comment about LSU, man. I mean, this is nothing directed personally at Coach O, but we had a discussion at work, you know, about Coach O. I don't foresee LSU doing well right now, period, for maybe about the next 3 years until they get a stable quarterback, because I just don't even see them competing in the SEC. They may be lucky if they win 5 games.
In the SEC or overall?
Overall. They'd be lucky if they come away with 4 or 5. Sir. To me, that's just my opinion, to see where they're structured, you know, with the quarterback situation.
I think they'll win more than 5 overall. I mean, you non-conference games, they should be able to win, and you start to look at who they have at home. Now, that's not a tough slate, but they should win, I think, anywhere between 6 and 8, and that's without a bowl game.
Yeah, 6.5 is the over-under in Vegas. I think that's the perfect line. I took the over, but barely the over. I got them at 7 wins. This opener against Miami, Deuce, with all the questions around this program, and like you said, the wound kind of keeps getting peeled back just a little bit, little increments at a time, especially when you get news like today. Drake Davis, the suspension a couple of weeks ago on the defensive line. That game against Miami, I'm not saying it will be ugly. I'm not saying it will be a wake-up call. But when you get turnover chain rolling, when you get that defense rolling in week one against an offense that's pretty much brand new, or at least a quarterback that's brand new, that could be a tough night for LSU fans.
They better be able to stop those two defensive ends, because Miami has some pass rushers that can get after the quarterback. And if you can't block those guys, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what you're trying to do offensively. You won't be able to get the ball off. And the other part is you've got to have some success on first down. One of the things that you want to be able to do yourself is create some turnovers. But turnover chain, Diaz is the defensive coordinator down there at Miami. They are going to show some exotic looks to that front. They're going to see if Joe Burrow can check or if he can change the play. And if it's me, I just want to get up to my playmakers. But the question is, are they going to have enough time to do so?
So you're running back. You're an offensive guy. I love defensive football. Give me the 10-7 game. Give me the 13-10 game. And I think we might see that in Miami. You like that kind of football?
No, it'll be more than that. I mean, you'll probably get – they'll get low 20s just because of special teams and turnovers. They'll be able to get – both of those teams, they'll be able to get in the low 20s.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be that low, but my point is I love defensive football. You love these tractor pulls. You want to see like 30-27 games.
I don't want to see 30-27, but I want to give me some offense. Now. Give me somebody scoring a touchdown or two. Don't just make it all three and out.
What was that super ugly overtime game? Wasn't it Cardinals-Seahawks a couple of years ago?
Yeah, the 3-2 whatever. Well, yes.
Oh, that was gross. Ended up in a tie, right? They missed like 2 chip shot field goals. Yeah, I don't like that one. I don't like that defensive struggle. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we got to get a little serious here for about 20 minutes. A couple of serious topics. First, LSU wide receiver Drake Davis was arrested for allegedly battering his girlfriend. Ugly stuff here from LSU and from Drake Davis. We'll talk about this coming back. I'm Seth Dunlap. Deuce McAllister alongside. This is Sports Talk. Before we move on to more difficult discussions here, let's squeeze in David. David, what's up, man? You're on with Deuce McAllister, Seth Dunlap here on Sports Talk.
Thank you fellas for having me. My question is geared more toward LSU. You may not think I think it's more of a conspiracy theory question, but hear me out. You know, when LSU hired Coach O, which I thought was a good hire, because he promised to bring in 2 top-notch coordinators, which they already had one in place with Dave Aranda, and then they brought in Matt Canada. But I think myself that he had to do that to get the job. But his real first choice was Emsminger all along. So I think my conspiracy theory came in is that he sabotaged it with Matt Canada so he could get Emsminger in. And then in turn, LSU made sure they paid. And I know Texas A&M was after Dave Aranda, but they paid LSU's paid him $2.5 million. I think that Aranda could be possibly, if the wheels come off this train, be the coach in waiting.
Well, I don't even think that's possibly, David. I think the writing's on the wall there. Sorry, go ahead.
But that's my conspiracy thing, because I really don't think he gave Matt Canada a fair chance, and I don't know if Ensminger, and I know he's been an offensive coordinator before, but I don't know if he can get the job done. I don't have the confidence in him as well. We're about to find out what Matt Canada can do in Maryland because of that tough situation he's in.
Yep. But, thanks for the call, David. Let's get Deuce's thoughts on this. Conspiracy theory galore here from David.
Well, the thing about the A&M, and you talk about Dave Aranda, that didn't happen until year two. So there was no way in year one that he knew that was going to happen. I mean, because he was able to pay him, but they didn't up the ante until year two. So as far as him being the coach in waiting, yes, that may have been long-term vision, but not after one season, I don't think, or not when they were hiring him. Hey, look, we're going to hire you, Coach O, but we got a coach in waiting already on staff. I don't think that was a thought process. They couldn't work together as far as the personalities. Just didn't mesh enough. And I know you interview a guy, you like what he's doing. Hey, look, I'm going to stay out of the system. It just didn't work. And whether it was the other coaches, offensive coaches on staff, or O and Matt Canada, we know it didn't work.
I mean, when they weren't speaking to each other at the end, which is crazy to think from your head coach and your coordinator.
But the breakdown happened in like week one, week two.
Sure, yep.
And it just got worse and worse from there. I mean, you bought him out as far as his contract is concerned.
You ever been in situations on teams you played in where there's that much animosity between a head coach and another, you know, coordinator or position coach?
Maybe a position coach, but not the head coach and the OC and the defensive coordinator. Maybe a position coach. I mean, but even in that situation, you know you're on a one-year
right.
It's a one-year basis anyway.
Yeah.
So if you get through that year, you know you're gone. He don't have to fire me. I know I'm gone. I just hope that they – give me a decent write-up, you know?
Man, that was an awkward situation. All right, we got to talk a little ugly here. So yesterday we got word that LSU wide receiver Drake Davis, he was arrested and charged with second-degree battery, according to the East Baton Rouge Prison Police Department. Now, the ugly part of this is the details of why he was arrested. Apparently, back in June, so this was a while ago, Davis is alleged to have broken his ex-girlfriend's ribs with a punch during an incident in April and then strangling her in June. The victim provided photographs supporting her claims of repeated domestic abuse, according to the warrant. There's also an allegation in here that Davis texted his girlfriend, quote, "I might kill you," end quote, and threaten violence on other occasions. I mean, this is ugly stuff. I've got a lot of questions here. If this happened back in June and April, why is this just coming out now? I think we'll find that. But this is not good. This is some of the wounds from the summer that you're talking about that keep popping up here for LSU in this program.
I think they were doing their due diligence, and that's kind of where they found out about it.
Yeah, and let me say this, dude.
Because actually an LSU staffer was one of the individuals that went to the police department. Not necessarily he went to the LSU police department first, and then they worked with East Baton Rouge Police Department to be able to formulate and arrest Drake Davis. But this was them, the LSU staff, doing some of their homework. Because you go back and you look at the linebacker that had a similar incident that
just 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, yeah, they got in trouble over the summer. I think this is LSU doing some of their homework to find out, hey, look, what happened with X player? Let's see what happened with all of our guys that are, whether they're scholarship or walk on. We want to find out because, man, this is Drake, really good player, talented. But I don't see how he's already suspended indefinitely.
If there's photographic evidence of this, there's no way he plays again.
No, I don't think he plays again.
I mean, he won't get out of prison for some of this stuff, at least not soon.
He's going to go to jail first, but yeah. Man, football won't be a worry.
No, it's just ugly, ugly stuff. You can find that story at WWL.com. And yeah, like Deuce said, thank you for mentioning that it was an LSU official that ended up reporting this, so kudos to that official. Taking a break for news. Back with your phone calls on this 504-260-1870. Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister on Sports Talk.
There is a breaking story here regarding Drake Davis. Just a couple of minutes ago, Drake Davis's attorney has come out and provided a statement to Brooks Kabina and The Advocate, our partners over in Baton Rouge, saying that, again, this is Drake Davis, the LSU receiver's attorney, saying that the accuser, Drake Davis's girlfriend, has retracted her story in a statement, but the district attorney is standing by the charges. So this is all unfolding. 504-260-1870 if you want to jump on in with me and Deuce McAllister as we talk LSU and college football this hour. Anthony on the phone line. Welcome on into the program.
Yes. How y'all doing? I was calling about the Saints.
Yeah, come on. You can ask. Yeah, go for it.
Right. My question is, right, and I watch this year after year after year, and I watch commentators come on and play politics, politics, politics with the fans, right? Now, my question is, if you have a real quarterback, no different than you see the quarterback at New England, right, a quarterback, a job to me, and Drew Brees said it, right, is to get that team into the end zone, touchdown. That's his job. By all means necessary, get that team into the touchdown. So that means if he don't have no receivers or he don't have whatever the play is called, right, he's supposed to make that play to get that team down that field. So if he have to run or maneuver in the pocket or whatever the case, whatever he have to do, that quarterback have to do what he have to do. Now, we know that Drew Brees is limited to what his capabilities is because he don't run, right? He don't move in no pocket. He don't do none of that. He can throw for all the yards he wants. He can be pinpoint accurate. But he throw one interception, make too many mistakes, right? The whole team loses, right?
Well wait. I don't keep going on your point here because I'm not quite getting it yet. But while you continue.
Now, why would the Saints keep Drew Brees at his age, right? And then you have Mark Ingram, right? He's not a running back.
Okay, let us answer this, and we'll get to your second one, Anthony. But I'll give you my take, and Deuce can weigh in on here. Why do they keep Drew Brees? He just had the most accurate season in NFL history, and was certainly by almost any metric last year one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League at age 38 and 39 last year. That's why they keep him. I mean, age begone here. What does age have anything to do with it?
Well, my point is, at his age, he's not a mobile quarterback. He cannot do whatever it takes to move that team forward.
He throws the ball. Anthony.
Go ahead, Deuce. Anthony, we'll get you on back in here.
No, you want him to, I guess, scramble and move the team down the field, but he throws the ball. And you just admitted that he is an accurate quarterback at 72% who just broke his own record this past year. So you would rather him scramble more so, I guess, is what you're trying to say?
No, what I would rather is him do whatever it takes for to move that team to the touchdown goal. He cannot do that.
But wait, right? but is whatever it takes also throwing the football from the pocket?
Yeah, but it's also scrambling. It's also running the ball. It's also doing.
Let me ask you this, Anthony.
Drew Brees jeopardize his body, right, to do whatever it takes.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
It sounds like you think that Drew should be running more, and I guess. I don't know why, but are you saying that you'd rather have Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback of this team because he runs the football better than Drew Brees?
No, what I'm saying is, My point is, why would they keep Drew Brees at his age? And we clearly see Drew Brees don't do whatever it takes to move that team down the field.
I mean, let me ask you this, because maybe I'm just missing your nuance here. Are you saying that you'd prefer somebody to be both a dual threat quarterback eventually to quarterback this team? Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm trying to say, had they picked a young college quarterback coming out of college that could run, do whatever it takes, throw that ball, accuracy just like Drew Brees, do all the things.
But there's not those guys. Anthony, okay, I'll let you go here for a while because I was really trying to get to your point. But here's the thing. Deuce, there aren't Drew Breeses growing on trees in college football. You're talking about, one of the four best quarterbacks in this game's history, period. Those guys don't come out every year, and you're not just going to magically draft one of those guys just because you think he is and could be Drew Brees. Those guys don't pan out a lot.
Not today, Seth.
Yeah, I don't.
I ain't finna deal with it today.
Anthony.
I'd love to hear the point being made, but the point of you're upset because he doesn't scramble and you know, you admit that he is an accurate quarterback. You're upset because of his age, because he doesn't give up his body when he doesn't have to, because he can pass the football. Is that what?
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I was really trying to let Anthony kind of explain it because I feel like maybe there was a point we were missing there, but I just feel like that.
I'm looking for what he's trying to tell me, man, of what he's mad about or upset.
I don't know why he would be mad. I mean, Anthony said multiple times it's the quarterback's job to score the football, and Drew Brees does that. He doesn't have to run to do that. I don't want him to run. I don't want him to run if he doesn't have to. Come on, man. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on WWL. What's up?
Calling about Taysom Hill.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe guys will make it a quarterback, but I don't see it right now. Can anybody ever talk about him playing tight end?
He's not a tight end.
Okay.
He's not a tight end. I mean, if it doesn't work for him at quarterback, then he's going to just be one of your core special teams guys. But he's not going to be a tight end for you.
Do they keep a position for somebody just to play special teams and not be a backup at another position?
Oh, all the time.
If you got a guy who can be an emergency quarterback and a backup, your holder and somebody, and one of your aces, really, we're not just talking about a guy they throw on special teams. You're talking about a special teams ace.
Right.
That's – correct me if I'm wrong, Deuce, but if he does that for the next 10 years, he's going to play wherever he wants in the league, pretty much.
Well, who's the quarterback that won the Heisman real famous that didn't make it a quarterback?
Tim Tebow?
Yeah, Tim Tebow. They wanted him to play fullback. How's this guy's build compared to Tim Tebow?
Well, first and foremost, he plays special teams for you. And that was one thing Tebow didn't do at all. Tebow was purely a quarterback, and he was not willing to play fullback, but really H-back is what they wanted him to play, sort of like your tight end. Tim did not want to do that. So for Taysom, he's already said, hey, look, I just want to get on the field. And if that's running down, covering punts and kicks, then so be it. That's what he will do, and that's what he's done. So that's why it's almost a bonus for him. If he can be your number two quarterback, then, yes, I think they would take him off of the other stuff. But if he can't do it, he's already willing to say, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not a quarterback full time, but I am a special teams player.
Well, he's in kind of an interesting spot because even if, let's say, at the end of camp, somehow, I don't think it's going to happen with what we've seen, but let's say he does outperform Tom Savage and he's the second best quarterback on this roster, isn't he still more valuable with what he's doing on special teams than backing up Drew?
No.
You'd still rather – so you'd rather take him off special teams then in that case?
Yeah, he may not play all. I mean, he may be just the holder for you on field goals, but I would not risk the injury for him on all the other things that he does for you on special teams.
All right, let's go to Patrick on the phone line. It's Sports Talk with Deuce McAllister and Seth Dunlap. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, man, happy Saturday, guys.
Hey. Happy Saturday.
In response to not the last caller, but the caller before – man, he might be right, you know. Having a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that has broken almost every single record and has had a record performing season previous before, I don't know why we have him on the team. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I just told him, Anthony, not today, man. I was going to listen and try to at least explain why. I mean, the job of the quarterback is to move the offense. We understand that. Guys can do it in a lot of different ways. A lot of them can throw it. A lot of them can use their feet to be able to get the team in the end zone. He was upset that Drew, at his age, doesn't run the football. Well, he's the most accurate quarterback in the history of the game. So if he has the ability to throw the football, keep throwing the football. And so he did not like that. I don't know.
I don't know either. I felt like Anthony, I know Anthony, you're probably still listening. I just felt like maybe there was some kind of nuance we were missing there. But I will say in the opposite way, I do think that people just look at Cam Newton's passing stats and don't realize his value running the football. So if you want to talk about moving a team down the field and the ability to get 7 yards a pop, the ability to get 1,000 yards rushing a season, the most rushing touchdown since 2011, you got to throw that into Cam Newton's value. So the opposite way, we're not maybe viewing Cam Newton through that prism. I'm not saying you or me, but I'm saying media in general and saying, man, look at his, you know, he's 59% completion percentage. He's only throwing, you know, the 6.5-7 yards per pass completion. His touchdown to interception ratio isn't what Drew Brees' is, but Cam Newton's value, because of the way he runs the football, is greater. And I felt maybe Anthony was trying to say that, but
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Cam Newton will play for 15 years.
No, no. And by the way.
And do you know why he won't play for 15
because
years?
Because he's getting beat up.
He is getting hammered. And I saw some of Matt Khalil's tape last night. Why don't we play them in the first game?
Oh, boy.
I wish that they would be your first opponent.
Well, there's a difference between him, and it's not that Russian quarterbacks can't thrive. Look at Russell Wilson. The dude doesn't get hit because he gets down.
He gets down, and he gets rid of the football.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, good conversation here. You can weigh in, 504-260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Deuce McAllister. This is Sports Talk. I got my buddy Emil Gaucher reading me on a personal text here. He says, great job, guys. Seth, I knew you'd figure out a way to work Russell Wilson into the conversation. Man, I have a lot of love for Russell Wilson. I'm not going to deny that. Drew and Russell, my two favorite quarterbacks in the league. So I will take that shot, Emil. Also, apparently the power out in Destrehan, text from the 985, or actually the 504 telling us that. So stay safe out there. Lots of bad weather. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister talking Saints, LSU, anything you want here. Let's go to Jeff on the phone line. Jeff, you're on WWL.
Hey, Seth and Deuce, how are y'all?
Hey, I'm good.
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Deuce, I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask, and then I was going to hang up and listen, okay?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, with Ole Miss, I understand that our defensive front seven may not be that good this year. So what I'm worried about and what I'm concerned about is how does our secondary look?
What are you saying? Let me ask you this before Deuce answers. When you say not good, define that.
Not good?
They're young.
Are you saying like a bottom half of the league unit?
Yes.
Yes, I am. But that's just my first question. Deuce, I was going to ask you a couple of more and then hang up. Is that okay?
I can answer that first one. That is correct. That back seven is going to be really good. What you can look for Ole Miss to do is they're going to gamble a lot because they're going to put their corners on an island and play them man-to-man. And so from a defensive standpoint, they're going to try to run some games to try to stop teams and get them in long second and third down situations.
Okay, well, Deuce, I appreciate that answer. Now, on the LSU side, I wanted to ask you, you know, when we found out that Joe Burrow was coming down here, we really thought that being a backup for the last 2 years at Ohio State, he could make all the throws. But I listened to you, Seth, one night, and you said you talked to some reporter.
I did.
Where he could not make all the throws.
That's true,
that
Jeff.
That kind of concerned me a little bit.
Well, just to repeat what I said and what the reporters told me, I had two different people on the same day come up to me and just I was asking them, hey, what have you seen over at LSU camp? Because they're there every day. They're actually at Saints camp one day. And both of them said, hey, we're kind of not getting the full picture on Joe Burrow. His arm strength leaves a little bit to be desired. He's not able to make all the throws like people are saying. That was almost an exact quote there, Jeff, so you're right.
Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to ask Deuce about is two more questions, Deuce. I hear that Jamar Chase from Rummel and Terrace Marshall from Shreveport are playing very well. And I was going to ask if you felt they would start this year, especially given what happened to Drake Davis. And then my last question is, do you think that I'm a little upset that Brissett is the leading running back right now, because I remember that big fumble in the Troy game last year really hurt, and I thought that this kid Curry was going to come on and take over the starting job. Can you comment on that, Deuce?
Well, from the receiver standpoint, whether Drake Davis was in trouble or not, they were going to have to play pretty much any of those guys that they had available. One of the things that they talk about, what they want to be able to do, is have confidence in eight or nine guys. And so that's a lot of receivers that you're having to run in and out. And so if they're going to play eight or nine receivers, then that's pretty much all of the guys that you have as far as receivers are going to be available. So if he was a freshman, unless he just can't pick up that system, I expect all of those guys to play when you talk about from a receiver's standpoint. And, you know, I'm just unsure as far as the running backs are going. Yes, you want Brissett to be able to take that next step. I know
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah, and Collins has looked good, too.
And Collins has looked good, but I think it starts up front. it has to start up front for them, and then you have to remember some of the looks that they're seeing and against their defense, it won't be as tough against some of the teams that they ended up playing.
Good point. Good point.
It will not be as tough, so maybe some confidence comes from that standpoint, but right now I think it's just – It's a wait-and-see situation.
Yeah, good point on the offensive line and the defense there. We'll take a break here. Okay, stand by because we've got round two with caller Anthony coming up after the break. We don't do this usually, but Anthony wanted to call in and clarify some stuff, or so he says. So we will do that coming back. Stay tuned. This should be fun. Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister. It's Sports Talk on WWL.
Anthony said we better put some respect on his name.
That's right. All right, Anthony. Respect.
Hopefully they continue to progress and learn and be comfortable in that offense.
All right.
When you talk about Jonathan Williams as far as having a really bright future, I think he does have a bright future. The one thing that I'll tell Jonathan is he needs to bring it every day in practice, because at times in practice, and some of this may be because they're not in full pads, some of this may be just because of the dress that they're in, but the last 2 weeks – he has looked like a totally different player as far as his mentality of how he's going out to practice and just how he's moving in practice. He does a great job of running behind his shoulders. He has great feet where he can pick his feet up. He can put them down. He has pretty good vision to be able to see the cutback plays. Now, patience will come with the more carries that he gets in this offense, but he can't just be a guy. He can't just go out there and almost be lackadaisical and go through the motions, and that starts in practice. And I think the last couple of weeks, he's kind of picked it up, and it showed in the games.
Larry on the phone line. Welcome on into the program, Larry.
Yes, sir. I'm going to ask y'all a question. I'll hang up and listen to y'all's feedback. But looking at the last 2 weeks of the Saints games, preseason games, looks like we're going to be in trouble if something happens to Breeze. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Well, I agree with there. In trouble, I think anybody who loses a quarterback like that could be in trouble. And not everybody has a Nick Foles hanging around. So, to just answer your question, yeah, they're going to be in trouble if something happens to Drew.
Particularly long term. Short term, I think they can get through. But long term, yeah, any team that loses a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback for any length of time, yeah, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, big time trouble. Here is a text from the 504. Anthony probably just wants another quarterback, the Drew Brees hater. Apparently, Anthony calls in and talks to Bobby a lot. We're getting a lot of those questions.
Yeah, him and Bobby got some beef, and so we're going to reserve that for him and Bobby to fuss about tomorrow or Monday.
Yeah, all right, Anthony. Hey, we gave you a chance here. Apparently, you called and then left, so there you go. All right, we got to take a break for news. When we come back, one more hour of the program, we'll talk a little Pelicans, chances in the West. Look, Vegas and ESPN down on the Pelicans, saying less talent this year than last year. I disagree. I want to get Deuce's stake. And can this town become a basketball city and a football city at the same time? Plus, I sat down earlier this week, had a one-on-one with Saints linebacker DeMario Davis. I will play that interview for you. So that's all coming up next hour, plus your phone calls. Area code 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. We're just getting word that Ohio State spokesman has said their investigation has wrapped up on Urban Meyer. They're ready to issue a report earlier next week. So we will talk about that too. Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.